This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome to My Favorite Murder.
That's Karen.
I hate that.
Let's start over.
I hate that.
But we're leaving it in, but let's start over.
Okay.
Let's start over.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder.
Welcome.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder.
Oh, this is so bad.
It's just uncomfortable to start a podcast. I think anyone listening understands that.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to pretend while you're sitting in your friend's apartment that you suddenly have some kind of official.
Right.
Like, it's as if we're on the radio.
Well, you and I have been talking pretty mellowly
for in the past mellow manner.
15 minutes.
That's
and then
right.
To suddenly break in face to face into like newscaster voice is weird.
Hey, Georgia.
Karen.
What's up, girl?
How are you?
What's your murdery day been like?
My day has been murderlicious. And then I just throw myself off a balcony. Let's start over.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder, the podcast that answers the question, should you talk about murders?
The answer is no. We already know the
Click.
Answer.
Goodbye.
And yet they do it anyway.
I'm going to kick off with my favorite. Oh, the reason I'm doing this podcast, Corrections Corner. And what is it this week? A British correction, as it is every week.
Every week we just get something wrong.
I think there's something in me, and I'm willing to process this on the podcast and talk through it on the podcast. There's something in me that wants to be a British expert, an expert of all things England, although I do not know anything.
Is there anything about being a child of Irish immigrants that doesn't give a fuck what you get wrong?
I mean, yes, there's something about being the child of Irish, the grandchild of Irish immigrants that makes me have a healthy disrespect for everyone, but especially the British. But I think there's also a weird kind of, it's so funny to me when people go on to any number of social media platforms that are My Favorite Murder based and say, Karen, if you liked Marcella, you're going to love Broadchurch. And I want to be like, are you fucking kidding me? I watched that shit the second it came out.
It is really weird when someone's like, oh my God, have you guys seen? And then it's like, it's a staircase.
Yes.
Like, where yeah.
We absolutely have.
Did you guys see Dear Zachary? And it's like, we're good.
Uh-huh.
There's like some basic ones. I think it's just people new to this.
Well, and also I think it's people that get excited. They see something, get excited, yeah, and want to make sure we've seen it.
I don't
want to
be
love.
Mean. I don't want to
no,
be
no, no,
mean.
No, we're not.
It begs the question, are you new?
What the fuck are you talking about?
New?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
If it's British, if it's got a rugged, handsome lady in charge who's going through some shit, yeah, but also has to solve murder,
and
I've seen it.
They only have batons. They don't even have guns, which is always so weird to me to see that.
They have the language. They have their wit. And then they have some sticks. They do stick work.
I need you to talk me through something. So I watched two.
Wait, I have to do my correction.
Oh, please go.
I said that faggot was not the derogatory term for a gay person in England.
We thought it was cigarettes.
A fag.
Yeah.
Is something they do say is slang. But someone promptly from England emailed us and was like, not sure what you're talking about or why, which is a great question to pose.
Right.
But they're like, it absolutely is.
Same
and
thing.
That is what Mary Bell was saying when she wrote that graffiti on the wall.
Right.
So, Corrections Corner, I'm wrong again.
Oh my God, someone needs to please take that clip right there and just
and remix it into a next fucking
EMDR, what do they call it? EDMR, electronic dance,
ASMR.
What's the one you go to sleep to, and what's the one you dance on?
ASMR is going to sleep, and EDM is what you stay up all night.
So I promise you, if we ask nicely, someone's going to make an EDM ASMR version of that.
Good luck. That's your challenge, to combine the both.
Ow.
Good luck.
Ow, I just murdered my toe.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I watched two episodes of Marcella. Fuck. You know when it's like, I know one of them is wrong and I don't know which one.
No. I'm laughing because the people on the show say Marcella.
Right. That's one of the things about it, is it's like she keeps correcting them.
Yeah.
I wasn't into it.
You did not like it?
I need you to talk me through it.
Well, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it.
I just really didn't. I thought she wasn't it wasn't believable to me that she was so crazy. I'm not going to give anything away. It's this British procedural crime drama.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
I know, but maybe someone's new here.
Oh, true. Are you new?
What? Are you new?
Are you new? I mean, I don't know. I just liked it. But also, I really do like, as long as it's new and British.
Yeah, you specifically like those.
I really do. I think they do crime procedurals great.
Yeah. I think that I am less interested.
You don't like drama, per se.
I don't like slow.
Yeah, they're very slow.
I don't like slow, and that I can't understand your accent half the time, so I'm not following. And also, you're driving on the wrong side of the road.
Oh my God, and why are you drinking tea like 7 times a day?
In addition, what the fuck?
Let's vow to never do those voices again.
Oh my God, never.
Except for our real voices, which sound a lot like that.
which we don't want to admit actually sound exactly like
sound that. Kind of exact. I will recommend this, although it is off topic of the direct murder topic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching Stranger Things, which
is
the
new. I was just going to bring it up.
Really? Love it.
2 episodes in.
Love it.
So good.
Love it. And as a person who grew up in the 80s, mm-hmm. like those houses.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new Netflix series, if you haven't seen it, called Stranger Things. It's very popular. People are loving it.
Winona Ryder
is a star. Very proud to see her there. Hometown girl, Winona Ryder. And it's so good. She's great.
Yep.
It's really fun. But that, like, the friend Barb, the first time the main girl's friend Barb from school.
Oh my God, Barb is the best.
Barb is the best. And Barb's hair, glasses, and clothes. To a person today, you're like, what the fuck? That's exactly what everybody looked like.
She could not be more on point. The on pointiest point person.
In the 80s, young girls dressed like they were doing a middle-aged secretary cosplay.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It was like, we didn't have a choice.
Have had divorced mother of 3. Cosplay.
My friend Heidi Lilly, God rest her soul, had a pair of glasses that were tinted pink on the bottom and blue on the top.
Oh, wow.
In 7th grade. So it looked like she was wearing blush and eyeshadow, and I was obsessed with them.
You know what's so weird is you can tell how they got hot.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you can tell how then later in the 80s, early 90s, maybe in their early 40s, they suddenly got super hot.
Yeah.
But then they show the dude that they're dating or the lady they're dating their photo from high school, and you're all like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But I do want her clothes. Like, that's my style.
Yes,
her
that's clothes. Right. A nice high neck, like a ruffle neck collar blouse made of polyester. There were a lot of like matching vests.
They all look
in
very
the early
hot.
80s.
They all look like they have too many layers on.
Yes. There were tons of layers.
That show was great.
It's a great show. Watch that. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that's watched the whole thing and gone,
yeah,
you're a day late and a dollar short. Good. Fair play.
I don't think it's fair. I think it's unfair that we can talk about it. And I'm like super excited about it. And other people are like, I finished it. And I have so many questions about, like, you know, like, who's this? Who's that? What happened here? What happened there?
Because you haven't finished it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kid without teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
He's a spinoff in and of himself.
Oh, my God.
He's a great actor.
You know what I love about that is the opening credits.
Yes.
They could not be more 80s.
They're so dead on.
They're so, not Unsolved Mysteries, but what was the other one? Like Imaginary Stories, or someone's yelling it at home, and I know they are.
Yeah.
It was like Creepy Stories.
Not Tales from the Crypt.
No, but it was like that.
Creepy stories.
Creepy stories. I don't know.
Anyway, it's great.
Hey, let's start.
Okay.
Let's start the podcast.
Well, you know what we're going to do this week? Everybody, skippers, come back.
Very special episode.
Today's a very special episode because we have a Gmail inbox filled with hundreds of hometown murders.
Hundreds.
So we decided we're going to dig in, as we have been promising to do for a long time, and just start reading some of them.
Yeah. So this is a long form hometown murder episode.
And it's good because there's a lot of good murders in there. You're just going to get a bunch of minis.
Yeah.
At once for your buck.
Yeah. And we absolutely didn't text each other this morning and say, I don't have time to find a murder.
And the other one, I can't do this homework.
I have a job today.
Yeah.
For one day of my life.
It's 100 degrees outside. I can't be expected to look on Wikipedia.
For 10 minutes and find our murder. Oh no. What about all the people who are finding us and this is their first episode they listen
to? Guys, hang in there. Don't give up.
Yeah, start from the beginning.
Yeah, start from the beginning and then let the love build a little bit before you get to this kind of what is this? Episode 27?
27.
Yeah.
Last was 2666.
Yeah, that's right. 27. That's weird.
It is weird. I like that we always know what episode, how many episodes we've done based on just because that's what we call them.
Yeah, that's right.
So I got a bunch. So people who start the podcast from the beginning don't know that. And we didn't have a My Favorite Murder Gmail then.
Right.
So they send them to my email address. So you don't see them.
Oh, okay. These are your private hometown murders.
Yeah, which I know that they are not deep into the podcast when they send them to my account. But I also hide them from you. So we're good.
Okay. So I like to have secrets. You know that about me.
We love secrets.
We love them.
Why don't you start? Someone on the Facebook page was like, I love the way you guys don't know who's supposed to go first. You're so off every week.
Yes.
When I'm like, it's your turn to start. Yeah.
We're never right.
You're never right.
Guys, as much as we love doing this podcast, it's not like we're that interested in it.
There was a Rolling Stone article. Thank you very much, Rolling Stone.
Oh, that's right.
That said, like, they're not big on facts. They say themselves there's a reason they're in the comedy category.
Yeah, but hey, guess what, Rolling Stone? You throw stones at glass houses all you want, but you spelled my name right at the top of the article and misspelled it in the middle. So guess what? You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. We were way off when we started this podcast by two people who have very complicated, for some reason, last names.
Yeah. Very compound.
Except mine's just two fucking words that everyone uses on a regular goddamn basis, and yet they just don't go next to each other, according to everyone in the fucking world.
And I understand mine are the combinations of R's, F's. It's a question that no one's ever gotten it
right. But you see it once, and you read it, and you're like, that's how you read it.
Well, if you're a copy editor and you check it once, you better get the second one.
And they never got covered by Rolling Stone.
Bye! That's called biting the hand that feeds you. That's how this is how we do it.
All right.
My first hometown murder is from someone named Charlotte. And she says, hi, George and Karen. I absolutely love the show. I have told my sister about your podcast, and she is now a huge fan also.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you have a sister and you haven't told her yet.
Oh.
Come on.
It'll bring you guys together.
Yeah.
Instead of being mad at her for throwing a Barbie at your head when you were six. Lee Hardstark.
Lee Hardstark, that's going out to you.
Then everything's fine.
Instead of being mad at her for chasing you down the hallway and beating you with a brush, Laura Kilgariff, all my life.
We should have our sisters do an episode one week.
My sister does not listen to this, and every time she's like, if people keep telling me, like, she went to her high school reunion, she's like, oh my god, people were telling me they like your podcast, but I don't even understand what you're doing. Like, she brings a level of disdain to everything.
If your family can't watch it on TV and see your name on television, they don't think you're succeeding.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't count.
No,
all we have are you guys who listen and love. Yeah. Hopefully,
thanks, guys.
Or listen and judge. I'll take anything.
Love and judge, same thing.
Whatever. All right. So she said, many of the things you say are thoughts I have, but nobody but nobody to really tell them to. Yeah. That would understand in parentheses. So when I first listened to your podcast, I was like, oh my God, there are others out there. That's exactly right, Charlotte. I grew up in a small town of about 4,200 south of Kansas City, Missouri. My sister babysat for a wonderful family, and when she went to college, I then filled in for her. So this would have been in 1979 or 1980. I was 13 or 14 years old. Oh, she'd like Stranger Things. That's that's her jam.
For sure.
Sometimes my mom would come over and visit while I was babysitting, just swing by and say hi, chat for a bit. This particular night, my mom came over, and by the time she left to go home, it was dark, around 10:30 or so. I thought I heard a car door, and thinking it was the couple I was babysitting for, I went and turned the front porch light on for them. They didn't come in, and so I thought, okay, I guess that was just another car in the neighborhood. It was around 11:30 or 12 when they got home, and the husband of the couple took me home. Around 2 a.m., my dad...
Now that's creepy.
Around 2 a.m., my dad comes in my room and wakes me up and says that there are two highway patrol officers downstairs and they want to talk to
me.
Describe
my face right now.
What the fuck? Georgia's eyes are as wide as they possibly could be, and she looks legitimately scared.
I'm so excited.
My first thought was, oh my God, something happened to one of the kids in their sleep or something like that. They told us that the next door neighbor, Lyle Norman, and then in parentheses, is it okay to give names?
Yes.
But yes, because yes, because this is now a case. The next door neighbor, Lyle Norman, of the house I was babysitting at, she means next door to the house she was babysitting at, had just been murdered in his house the same time I was babysitting next door.
That wasn't a car door.
And asked if I heard or saw anything strange. Come to find out, the man, Lyle, had just been on a cruise and stopped by a bar or a casino or something and picked up a guy and brought him home. Sorry, trying to type this with two cats prancing back and forth on my computer.
I get it.
All right. Well, it doesn't. Anyway, this guy stabbed Lyle, killing him and probably robbed him. And they think he left around the 10:30-ish time when I heard the car door, thinking it was the couple I was babysitting for. When I turned the front door.
Lyle. Okay.
I'm really glad I didn't go outside and see if it was the couple or not. And I was just so thankful my mom hadn't run into the crazy guy when she went out to her car and that the kids were okay. That was so sad to hear Lyle been murdered. I think they ended up catching the guy. But if you search Lyle Norman Butler, Missouri, the story should pop up.
That's a murderer's name.
If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder, Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye. No, wait.
No, he's the victim.
Anyways, that's what I meant.
It sounds like a victim. And then she's got a second one. You want me to read it?
Yes.
One other quick story. My husband at the time and I and my daughter lived out in the country in an old house in an area where a battle occurred during the Civil War time. And my husband worked nights, so I let my daughter sleep with me in the middle of the night. I hear one of her music boxes fucking playing. That's what she wrote. fucking playing. It had been played long enough that it woke me up, and I was pretty heavy sleeper back then. I'm flipping out, but laid really still in case it was someone robbing us or something. But then I thought, why would somebody wind up a music box? A minute or two later, I hear something fall on the ground in the other room. I lay awake forever, didn't want to leave my daughter alone in bed, and had my hand on this heavy lamp in case I needed it to protect me and she with it. The next morning, I slowly walk into the next room where there's a sturdy coat rack that had a shelf above it that had books and a heavy flower pot on it. The books were on the ground. The flower pot was still on the shelf.
No.
There wasn't any way the cat could have gotten on the shelf. Then I go to my daughter's bedroom and see where her music boxes were. They were all on a shelf that went along one wall, and the shelf was up near the ceiling, and an adult could reach it with a chair, but she couldn't have reached it and hadn't played with them in forever. Then we find a piece of raw chicken on a paper plate on the kitchen counter, and none of us put it there.
What? No!
I'm going to say ghost. A friend built a house down the road years later and said they walked in their living room one evening and an old woman was sitting in the rocking chair.
Bye, Karen. It was nice knowing you.
No doubt the area is haunted.
Raw chicken, though. That's like, that suddenly took a turn for the... Wait,
yeah, raw chicken is... Yeah, I'm not... Maybe it was a cat. Maybe it was a really, really, really smart cat that loved music.
Do you know... Well, go on, sorry.
Oh, she just ends it by saying, last crazy thing, if you Google people in the 1800s posing with dead bodies, holy shit, that's fucked up. Anyway, take care, stay safe. Thanks for letting me share, Charlotte.
She's good.
Good job, Charlotte.
Did I ever tell you, so I totally don't believe in ghosts. If they exist, fine, I'm not going to argue it. But when I was a little kid, I was in bed, I had insomnia, it was like, I woke up at like 3 in the morning, I was lying there in bed, and I saw, and we had like a... We had like a closet that like on roller doors.
Yes.
And one just opened. One of the closets just opened.
While you were lying there looking at it?
And we didn't have cats yet because my parents were still married and that wasn't a thing yet. So like I just got all the courage in my life and ran to my parents' room. But I totally saw I saw it open.
Oh my God. Did I tell you the story about when my sister and I both heard breathing outside?
No.
It was summer. It was like hot like it is right now. And so my sister and I both had our windows open in our rooms. And our rooms, the hallway went down in an L shape. So like my room, my sister's room, it turned left. And then my parents, like the master bedroom is the end of that.
Okay.
And my sister's room is directly across from my parents. So I'm laying in my bed and my sister's laying in her bed. Everybody's asleep, but the light's still on in my parents' room. And we hear footsteps in the tan bark outside of our windows and heavy breathing, like, and footsteps, like slow footsteps. I'm laying there. I freeze. It's the scariest thing. Like all the hair on the back of my neck goes up and I'm laying there and I'm like, I can't be hearing this. I'm probably asleep. And then I see my sister bolt across my doorway into my parents' room, like really fast.
Oh my God.
And so I get up and run in there too. And my sister's like, there's somebody outside. There's somebody in the tan bark. Like
in the what?
There's, you know, tan bark. It's that stuff that's like wood chips, like big wood chips.
Mulch.
Yes, but it's big and it's dry. So they use use it like on playgrounds
a
lot.
You can hear it. Crunch.
Yes, if you walk through it, it is a crunchy sound, and that's like all the landscaping in front of our windows was all that tan bark and hedges.
Oh my God!
So my dad pulls open the nightstand drawer, pulls out a switchblade,
dad
flicks it open.
Hell yeah!
I'd never seen that knife before. I'd never seen him open that. He'd never talked about it.
He's been waiting for this opportunity.
He was like, whoosh.
Yeah, he knew.
Goes outside. It's a golden retriever.
I did not expect it to end this heavy breathing.
It was the scariest. And then it turned out to be, it was like some neighbor's golden retriever got out and was just walking around.
It wasn't even a pit bull. It was like, it was like the dog that is the nicest dog in the world.
It was an old, slow, hot, bummed out golden retriever.
Angel.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, my dad had to cut you.
And your dad slit his throat.
Stuck him with a knife to teach him a lesson. Don't come around our property.
Oh, that was amazing.
Okay, now you go.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start mellow to keep you motherfuckers to stay around. Because sometimes I'll tune into these podcasts. It's like a listener shit. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be boring. I came here to listen to you guys talk.
Right.
So no, I'm going to go slow.
So wait, so you're starting, you're in fear that people will think it's boring. You're starting mellow.
Is that stupid? That doesn't make it. You want to catch them, and they're all good.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to start good.
I'm not questioning you. I'm just clarifying.
You are, but you are correct.
Okay.
I just want to say that it's correct. So Samantha M says, so I have one of the creepiest hometown murder stories. At first, it never occurred to me. Then I remembered this horrible quadruple murder that happened while growing up. I went to elementary, junior, and high school with these identical twins.
Oh.
They were a grade older than me, so I never had a class with them, but it wouldn't have mattered anyway. They didn't associate with anyone from school, didn't go to parties, weren't allowed to go to dances, and didn't even speak to anyone besides each other.
Ew.
They ate lunch alone at a table to themselves.
Identical twins.
Ooh. They were of Middle Eastern descent, so I assumed their parents were simply strict. The odd thing about them, however, is that they dressed, and this is in all caps, identical every single day, the entire time I knew them.
Ooh.
This beginning from kindergarten to graduation. And when I say identical, I mean everything from their hair breadths to their watches, socks, and shoes match. Never missed a day. We know where this is going.
Yeah.
It was a golden retriever. They were both golden retrievers.
You know, golden retrievers love to match.
It was two golden retrievers on each other's shoulders with a trench coat. Anyways, we all graduated, never saw them again. Their parents were very wealthy. They lived in this gated community in the mansions of San Clemente. That's Orange County, where I'm from. Very rich people. Mm. Where their mom's best friend lives. Where my mom's best friend lives. Okay. I actually did my pictures for my wedding and got ready at her house, the mom's house, because it's so beautiful and overlooks the ocean. The girls were still living at home and attending college when this happened. Family members approached police saying that they hadn't heard from the girls and their parents for a while, and it was unusual.
Oh,
the police did a perimeter search and stated that maybe they had gone on vacation. Yeah, wrong. Per protocol, they were not allowed to break in yet. The next week, the family pestered the police again, stating that this was highly unusual for them not to let anyone know they had left. I believe it was two or more perimeter checks before police finally broke in, at which time the smell was so bad they had to have people come in with scuba masks.
Oh, no.
The bodies were so badly decomposed, it took a while to find the cause of death, but they were able to determine that the entire family was wearing black. No evidence of a struggle was present. The girls were lying next to each other in bed. The grandmother was on a lounge chair, and the parents were in their closet. Eventually, they determined the girls and grandmother died of a prescription drug overdose, and the parents went in the closet where the mother shot the husband and then killed herself.
Oh my God.
The whole thing was super creepy and made me realize how you never really know what goes on in a person's life behind closed doors. I feel bad for what kind of lives these girls must have had in spite of their outward facade of money and privilege. Hope to hear more of you guys.
Oh, fuck.
Thank you, Samantha. That's so sad.
Samantha, that's intense. Although I have to say, I understand what she means by saying you never know what goes on behind closed doors. But I think you had a slight indication with people who dressed exactly like each other from kindergarten to through high school.
And if I had twins, one of their heads would be shaved their entire life.
That's a good idea.
I would never cut their hair.
That's a good idea.
Right?
And make sure
fine.
It's the girl.
Yeah. And then they'd psychologically be fine from then on out.
If you scar them early, nothing else can hurt them.
Right. Because they don't know any different. All you know is scarred.
It was like a mini Heaven's Gate.
Yeah.
That's so intense.
It is weird. You know, you think, I do this a lot, or I think back to kids I went to elementary school with, and I'm like, oh man, I bet you had some your shit was real fucked up.
And I just thank God that I was so ignorant.
Yeah.
Back then I thought everyone had the life I had. I remember asking my teacher, Ellen Lesher, who was my grammar school teacher and family friend.
It's so sad.
She put me to bed one night when she was over having dinner with my parents, and I wanted her to come and tuck me in. And so she said, do you, like, she asked me if I had any question I could ask. She told me I could ask her anything. Aww. She did an AMA with me. She did an analog AMA.
Oh my God.
And I asked her, I said, there's a little girl in my class. Let's just say her name was Sarah Jane. And I said, why is Sarah Jane's face always dirty? And I was saying it like, because I thought, you know, yeah, she was going to give me some answer. And she said, because she doesn't have anybody to clean it for her. Oh. And as a fourth grader, I just started crying in my bed. I had no idea. I had no idea that anybody would live that way.
No.
And that, I mean, that's how intensely privileged and like, and, you know, sheltered
oblivious.
I was.
Yes. I know that Robert, this kid in my class, like everyone made fun of him because he smelled bad and wore the same clothes all the time. And now I'm like, oh, your mom was a hoarder and couldn't have her. Like, I clearly understand now that like, it wasn't your fucking choice to be like that. And you got made fun of and that's, I hope he's okay.
Well, that's, and kids don't have a choice. Like that's the one good thing. I always make jokes about like, we need to bring bullying back, but I am totally joking. In that way that like kids get attacked by other kids for things that they, that are not their fault.
Yeah.
And it really sucks because it's a thing they're already suffering by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got it. And I did it to other people. Like as much as I want to be like, I was a nerd and made fun of a lot. Like, well, I deflected my shit by making fun of other people. Like I wasn't better than the popular kids making fun of me. Like,
then you shouldn't have a podcast. Well, no, I was same here. And that's because it's mob rules. Yeah. You don't want to be the target. You have to make sure someone else stays the target. So it's not you.
I wish I was like Matilda or like those kids in movies where you're like, they stand up for kids who are underdogs and make friends with them. And it's like, no, I was kind of a dick too.
I mean, that's the majority of people, I think.
All we can do now is have a great podcast.
That's the only thing we can do.
All we can do now is podcast to the world. Okay, Karen, you go.
Charissa sent us this. It says, hello, ladies. I started listening. I have very sibilant S's. I've noticed this lately on the podcast.
You went in the where?
This is not Clarissa. This is me talking. Yeah, my S's are very sharp.
S? Is it because mine are soft?
No. No, I think it's because my teeth are floating and moving around in my mouth.
That's a creepy.
So there's some kind of, like, I keep, anyway. there's a new level.
Corner.
There's a new level of self-consciousness.
Oh, for sure.
That I need to get rid of, because who gives a fuck
at the
end of the day?
It's just you and I.
I know.
Nobody listens. It's just you and I.
And my S's. Hello, ladies. I just started listening to your podcast this week, and I haven't gotten all the way through the episodes yet, so I hope this isn't a duplicate. So do I, Clarissa. Anyway, I have not one, but two hometown murders for you. The first one is just plain horrifying. It happened in a house that is almost directly across the street from me, and the killer was Megan Huntsman. She has been charged with killing and hiding six newborn babies in her garage.
Oh, fuck.
Somehow, and I'm still trying to figure this out, she managed to hide seven pregnancies over a decade. She never went to the hospital. No one knew what was going on. Apparently, she would give birth, strangle or suffocate the baby, wrap bodies in garbage bags, store the box in her garage. She left the corpses when she moved away.
What the shit?
The police found seven dead babies, but only six had been murdered. The last one was born stillborn. Her husband is the one who found the corpses.
Oh, he didn't even know. Two?
He had spent 8 years in prison for drugs, and when he got out, he went to the house to clear it out and get ready for the rent, get it ready for rental. And he said the garage smelled horrible, and he had a friend help him clean out the garage to figure out where the smell was coming from. What I don't get is the fact that he was there in the house with her during the times those babies were born and subsequently murdered. Well, it doesn't sound like he was if he was in in prison for 8 years.
Whose babies were they?
Well, yeah, I mean, that might be why she had to kill them. But Jesus Christ. He claims he had no idea she was pregnant or had babies, and the police decided not to charge him with anything. She pled guilty to six counts of murder and has been sentenced to life in prison.
Fuck.
She has three surviving children.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's the scariest thing I ever read.
Intense therapy immediately, please.
And claimed she was too addicted to meth
to
take care of more.
Isn't it funny how many, like, fucking together people are trying so hard to have a goddamn baby and then these fucking people who have meth and kill the babies.
Oh, yo,
like six in a row.
Anyway, that's my hometown murder story. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, Clarissa.
Bye.
I'm sorry. I keep saying Clarissa. It's Charissa. Charissa. Charissa with an H. Okay. That was intense. That was crazy.
Mm. Also, do you know anyone who ever...
She didn't include two stories. It was just one.
That's enough for
me. We love you, Charissa. Yeah, that was murders, two murders worth.
Do you know anyone who tried to hide their pregnancy?
No.
Did anyone in your high school get pregnant?
One person got pregnant and she just carried it, had it.
We had one too.
Everyone knew.
It's fucked up. How are you? I don't even know.
Well, you know what's crazy? It's just that thing, and maybe it's slowly changing now, but like they never, I went to a Catholic high school, so they weren't allowed to teach about birth control.
Yeah.
But of course kids were having sex. So the whole thing was this, it was like getting away with the ultimate risk is what all the kids were doing. Wait, basically. What,
having sex is the ultimate
risk? The risk of pregnancy.
Oh.
Like, because
you
basically.
You didn't use a condom.
Well, no, they did, but I mean, I'm sure there's some that probably convinced each other they didn't need to.
Well, they're 100%, right?
Yeah, the rhythm method. but I mean, like once that happens, then you're in that group where it's like, I think kids, those, at least I feel like, and maybe it's just because I was so naive and didn't really know what was going on, but like that's the risk you really... You're basically about to become a pariah if you become a teen mom. Because that's, I mean, and that's not my opinion. I'm saying that's how you end up like in the eyes of your small town whatever.
I'll say this about so many things. Skin of my teeth or my fucking hormones are jacked that I didn't get pregnant as a kid. As in, like, not a kid, but you know what I mean?
Yes.
Teenage.
As a young person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skin of my teeth or my womb is ruined.
Either way.
Either way.
God bless America.
Thank you, God. So let's see. I'm going to pick another one.
Okay.
All right. This is from Leonard.
Leonard.
What's up, Leonard? So my hometown murder story happened in my high school days. I was coming home from a basketball practice later than I normally would have. And as I came to the corner to walk to my block, I see half a dozen cop cars surrounding my best friend's house. Lights are flashing everywhere. And I see my friend in the back of one car, his brother in another car. I'm assuming he needs cop cars. And on the stairs leading up to the house, on the opposite corner, a female body not fucking moving. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So later, I come to find out that my friend's dad evidently got into an argument with his wife and began, all caps, stabbing her over and over. My friend was home and tried to save her and fought off his father. I repeat, fought off his father after stabbing his mother, and he took off in his car and escaped. Meanwhile, the mom is still fucking alive and gets out of the house and staggers to the neighbor's house, but collapses before reaching the door and, all caps, dies.
Dies at the neighbor's stairs.
Jesus. So, first and only time seeing a dead body, not at a funeral. So my friend and his brother eventually get cleared and released, and the media picks up on the murder and calls him the killer dentist. And then he says, guess what his job was? And he's a fugitive for like 3 to 4 days. So dad is fucking gone. Then news breaks that he was found in the next state over, committed suicide in a motel, and left a note.
Oh, no.
Memory is fuzzy, but he and his wife were separating and he had been sleeping on the couch for some time. And what I clearly remember, though, was me, my friend, and his dad soon to be murderer eating at fucking Chili's like a week before it went down. And to be a goddamn cliche, I honestly did not see it coming. He was the nicest guy, etc., etc.
Oh, man.
He wrote etc., etc. So, friend and his brother moved to Florida to live with extended family, and it's nearly a decade before they move back home. That story was legit true. Feel free to check it out. Late 90s, early 2000s. Leonard, I believe you. I'd love to know what you think, even if you don't read it on your show! Well, guess what, Leonard? But if you do, give me a heads up. I'm weird and I'm listening to your old shows from episode one on. Again, thanks for reading and don't get murdered.
Wow.
Thanks, Leonard.
Leonard sat at Chili's with a fucking murder.
I want to know what he ate. Is that weird?
Well.
Bloomin' Onion, is that there?
Is Bloomin' Onion Outback Steakhouse?
Something.
I think it is.
I bet, yeah.
It could have been an Awesome Blossom.
Awesome Blossom.
Wait, no, that might be.
That's Outback.
Is that Outback?
Yeah.
I've had one of them at one of those places, but I can't remember which one or where.
Let's do the thing. Remember when we said that if we hit like whatever, some like arbitrary number, we were going to go eat at a steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do the next arbitrary number. We'll go eat it at Chili's.
Let's do that.
We're not going to do either of those things.
We can't. Here's why. I used to love Chili's because I think they're the ones that had queso.
Oh, right.
Which is like that amazing.
It's just nacho cheese.
It's nacho cheese, but it's like when they melt it and there's some meat in there.
And chilies.
Yeah.
In there. Not
it's a
chilies.
Little bit spicy. Yeah. Not the whole restaurant.
And they give you chips, right?
1,000 chips. It's
Man,
the best.
When I get a cheese plate, which is very often, or guacamole, and they don't give you enough bread or chips.
Oh.
It's a fucking conspiracy.
Yeah, that's not cool. Also, it's bread. Like, how expensive could it be?
Yeah.
It's going to go bad tomorrow anyway. And throw it on there.
And then I have to, like, can we get a little more bread? And the waiter's like, let me see what I can do. Like,
oh, yeah,
it's fucking bread, dude.
Float me that favor.
Yeah. Then I'll give you 26% instead of the normal 23, which is why I don't have money. That's not true. I'm on a tangent, Karen.
I love it. That's intense. I love when there's first person involvement.
Yes.
In these. It just makes it exciting to me.
All right.
Next,
do another one?
Yeah. Well, because that reminds me, the dentist reminds me, there was a couple ones.
The killer dentist. Guess what his profession was. One of us.
Oh, this is a good one. Okay. This is from Cody. And the title, the subject line is "All the way from Australia."
Ooh.
Hello,
Governor.
That's
Governor.
Not how they talk there.
Sorry
there, Cody.
Everyone.
Hi, ladies. Hey, ladies. I love your podcast. In Australia, during the 60s, we had a lot of child murders. Hello.
Australia's legit with murders. I said that to someone recently that was from Australia. I was like, you guys have a lot of great murders. And they were like, what?
They were like, goodbye.
Bye.
On the day Neil Armstrong took a step on the moon, the TV aired a man walking on the moon. Could be a sound studio, could be real life. I'm not making any claims.
This is not that podcast.
Awesome. Two children, Shane Spiller and Yvonne Tui, went on a picnic. A man jumped out, grabbed Tui. Spiller was able to fight him off with a hatchet and run away to get help.
Why did he have a hatchet?
They were on an axe picnic? I don't know. He was able to describe the car and a naval sticker on the car. It was too late, though, as they had found Tui's body horrifically murdered. The cops then drove to the naval base with Spiller in the car, and Spiller ID'd the car. The police entered the naval base and found Derek Percy literally red-handed, washing his bloody clothes. This guy is linked to multiple child murders, and he is considered one of Australia's worst serial killers.
Holy shit.
Derek Percy. Gotta look him up. D-E-R-E-C-K. Anywho, flash forward to 2002.
Dateline.
And thousands of kilometers away, whatever that means, thousands of kilometers away, Spiller had been living close to my home in a very small, close-knit community for ages. He then suddenly disappeared in 2002 and has not been heard of since.
And this is the witness.
That it's the survivor of those two children.
He was fucked up.
Yeah. He probably just got discovered there and was like, see you later.
Bye.
Google search Derek Percy. He is linked to so many child murders. Most notably, he had a notebook with the beach that the three Beaumont siblings went missing at circled.
I've always wanted to do the Beaumont siblings, but it goes nowhere.
It's three kids who walk to the beach very close to their house. It's something they did all the time.
Yep.
And it was in the 70s, right?
But they were seen talking to like a young surfer guy.
Yeah.
And then they just fucking off the face of the earth disappeared.
And never heard from, no
all
trace.
Three of them. Like
three
a girl and two boys. I don't know.
I think
it was, there was a girl and there were boys. I don't know.
Yes.
Somewhere
yes.
around there.
I had the same exact feeling about that case where I think that podcast that has a girl and two guys.
Oh, not Generation. I always think it's Generation Y, but it's
shoot.
Fuck.
I think they're out of Portland. They did a really good one.
Yeah.
On this, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, sorry guys.
I feel like we need to look this up. Should like give them a shout out.
It's like what do you know? It's like a question phrase.
It's totally, and that's why I think it's Generation Y all the time, but it's not.
I'll read the rest of this while you look that
okay,
up.
Go for
also, it came out that his mother is an upstanding citizen who destroyed evidence for him. Oh, that mother and son bond. Cute. Parentheses, fucking douchebag. Love you guys. P.S. Yes, I'm a girl, even though my name sounds like a dude's name.
Thank you, dude.
Cody, that was an awesome email.
Very awesome.
Very awesome. So I love that. Derek, I'm looking up Derek Percy.
I'm looking up.
That's a really good one.
I'm looking at. Here I am looking at things.
Here I am.
Here I am. Son of a cunt. What is it? Son of a cunt. That's a new one. Everyone's yelling it at home and I'm so sorry.
You know what? We'll find it by the end.
Okay.
What if we do that way?
We'll Instagram it.
Yes. So you read yours and then I'll
keep
looking.
Okay, it's your turn, Karen.
Yeah. No, I just read it.
No, I mean, it's your turn to look.
Oh, okay.
And ignore me. You're like, no, I was just... I'm drinking too much Beaujolais.
It's your turn, Karen.
Can I tell you about this wine that Vince heard that Eric Andre, I mean, not Eric Andre, Andre the Giant, was really into Beaujolais, which is like a cheap white wine.
Yeah.
I mean, red wine. God damn it.
You got it. You got this thing.
Vince never liked red wine, and he hunted down Beaujolais because Andre the Giant was into it, and now we drink Beaujolais.
Do you love it?
It's actually really good.
I actually love the word Beaujolais.
Beaujolais.
It sounds like you're trying to be fancy.
It sounds like the 80s.
Yeah.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
All right. It really does.
I'm gonna do a long one.
Okay.
This is from Angie. She says, in my hometown when I was 16, there was an entire family murdered by the 17-year-old son. He went to my high school, rode the bus with me when he went to my neighbor's house. neighbor is loose where I'm from country. He lives about 2 miles away. And the sister he murdered used to hang out in the, quote, band hallway every day, which is why I knew her. My mom was a cop for the city of Grand Rapids. And on her way home that night, she came upon the murder and called me to see if I knew anyone who lived in the house. It was about 4 miles away from our home and on a very busy road. The murder wasn't in her jurisdiction, but she was a prominent police officer and knew county officers who were. She stopped to help. Naturally, she wouldn't tell me any of the details because she fiercely protected her daughters from the horrible things she saw that they desperately wanted to know about. Upon reflection, maybe this is why I became obsessed with true crime. Lucky for me, I lived in a small enough town that rumors spread and details leaked out about the murders from other people who knew the cops that worked the case. The story goes like this. John Seisling, 17 years old, got into a fight with his mother and his sister, Caitlin, 14. He claims he blacked out, and when he woke up, they were all murdered, including his 8-year-old sister in her bed. And he was covered in blood. He called the police and said that, oh, Jesus, here we go. He said, 2 black guys robbed them and murdered his family, but he was able to get away. And then Angie writes, those pesky black guys always committing those mass murders.
Yeah.
I mean, come the fuck on. Then he confessed to the killings once the police arrived. However, apparently he beat his mother and Caitlin with baseball bats and stabbed them with large kitchen knives. He also apparently, oh, fuck. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
He also apparently raped his 14-year-old sister with, oh no, said baseball bat.
Oh.
Cops who worked the murder apparently vomited when they got there and say that it was the worst crime scene they had ever come upon. Blood everywhere. The worst part, and she says, maybe it's all pretty horrible, is that he made his youngest sister go lay in her, and then he did things. He slit her throat. Another pretty awful part is that we heard Caitlin got away from him and ran out into the street, but he dragged her back in. They found blood streaks across the ground. The most horrible part about this is that the road they lived on was right by the highway and nearly always busy. No one saw this somehow. He used to have weirdo fantasies about coming upon the scene and saving her. I used to have weirdo fantasies about coming upon the scene and saving
her. That's not weirdo. That makes sense.
No, those are my fantasies and why I'm going to therapy.
Yeah.
The murder stayed with me a while. Yeah. School the next day was so eerie and quiet. Everyone knew what happened and everyone had stories about John and Caitlin. John was weird, that much I knew. And in the weeks after the murder, when we all talked about it, I couldn't remember if I actually ever talked to John or not. In my memory now, he used to say weird shit to me on the bus. But honestly, lots of dudes in my small Podunk town were weirdos. We still all talk about the murder, and I will still hear new rumors about what he did and why. He always claimed he was abused by both his mother and father, and his mother and sister just made him angry. Some people thought it was because he was a Satanist when he admitted to being Wiccan, and other people talked about hearing him say he wanted to kill his family, but no one took him seriously.
Oh.
Just awful. I recently heard, 12 years later, about the cops vomiting everywhere. The last line in that article is upsetting. He had some advice for people. Don't abuse your children or they might kill you.
Well, I mean, he's right.
But did they abuse him?
Well, yeah.
I feel like if they had abused him, he would have just killed them.
You mean instead of like raping the sister?
Yeah. I feel like raping the sister and slitting the throat of an 8-year-old is something's wrong with you.
For sure. Yeah, because they didn't abuse him.
No, and it has nothing to do with...
It's not revenge. Yeah.
It's you just...
Or at least it's not revenge in the story you're telling. It doesn't line up.
It doesn't.
Fuck, that's intense.
Did you find it?
I did. It's Thinking Sideways.
Thinking Sideways!
It's Steve, Devin, and Joe's podcast, Thinking Sideways. It's a really good... Here's the thing. If you like facts... If you like really well-researched stories and deeply researched stories, this is your podcast, Thinking Sideways.
But also opinions.
Yes.
They all have opinions, which is fun.
Well, it's a really good discussion because it seems like they do it the way we do it, where like I've listened to a couple and it's like people, they ask each other questions as they talk through the case.
The one guy who sounds like a radio host from the 40s
Yeah.
is amazing.
I don't know who's who.
I don't either.
It's a really good podcast, though.
I'm Georgia, and that's Karen.
In case you don't know who's whom.
Okay.
You want to go? Why don't we both do one more?
Sure.
We're at 50 minutes.
Yeah. We'll each do one more.
Okay.
Let's see. There's a really good one that I had in here, marked in here, about an ophthalmologist, but I'm not going to search for it.
Okay. Do you want to read one of my... I didn't read... You want to take one of these?
No, I have a couple. I have a couple marked.
Okay.
I'll go straight into axe murders.
Yay. Elvis is standing by. Like, Elvis can tell when this is wrapping up.
Basically, my presence means treats to him.
Can you guys hear that dog barking?
Yes, we can, Turtle. All right.
What?
Quack. Oh, he did it.
He's chit-chatting. Elvis, right. It's not your time yet.
You're too early. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Molly. Subject line, axe murders.
Yay.
Okay, so I literally started listening this morning. The show is amazing. I love true crime.
Oh, thanks.
I think you guys are really funny. I wanted to share my hometown murder with you, too. So in 1988, in Rochester, Minnesota, that's MN, right?
Oh, axe.
You know,
I didn't say the initials of the last Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yeah, because I wasn't sure.
Because you were afraid?
That's where my husband's from. Anyway, come on. I'm the worst person.
It's the fear that's keeping us from...
Fear. It's all it is.
I'm pretty sure MN is
Minnesota. Yeah.
In Rochester, Minnesota, this 16-year-old named David Brom killed his mom, dad, little sister, and little brother.
Fuck, man.
He got in a fight with his dad over the music he listened to. David was a goth kid going to Catholic school.
What was he listening to? It was like something stupid. We're like, they're not even that good.
What was it? 808 State? His dad told him not to listen to whatever music he was listening to, and David got pissed. When most of his family was sleeping, his older brother Joe wasn't home that night. He took an axe from the basement and attacked his family. If I remember correctly, he killed his dad first. His mom woke up at one point. His mom had defensive wounds on her arms from the axe. David went to school the next day bragging to his friends about what he did.
What the fuck?
When no one could find him later on, his friends went to school administration. They in turn called the cops, who went into the home, found the dead bodies. They didn't find David until the evening, 2 miles from the school, in a phone booth at the post office, less than a mile from the house I grew up in.
Was he just hanging out?
It doesn't say.
I bet he was dead.
I wasn't alive during this time, but my dad called my mom at least a couple times to make sure she was okay during the manhunt.
Wait, he was just in the phone booth? I thought he killed himself in the phone booth.
No. He was trying to make calls or something. They basically found him there.
Okay.
So it was a manhunt.
Huh.
And the last thing there was, it was terrifying. David is still in prison and is eligible for parole in 2041. His brother Joe has passed away in the past couple years, so he doesn't have any family left. I honestly don't think he'll be released from prison, but stranger things have happened. Sorry this was so long. Wanted to share. Love the show. Molly.
That wasn't long, Molly.
It was not long.
No.
What is it with these? There's a couple of these kind of stories of
teenage boys
trying to deal with all their chemicals.
Chemicals.
Outside and in.
Hormones, anger. Especially back in the... I feel like... there was such a switch from the baby boomers to like the Gen Xers, and that was like, they didn't understand each other.
No, not at all.
And they didn't tolerate each other.
And I will say, as a person growing up in the 80s, boys, at least at my school, got the shit beaten out of them every single day.
Yeah.
There were some bullies at my school that were downright terrifying.
And hitting your spankings and belt whippings were like you being a good parent.
Yeah.
I got fucking spanked with wooden spoons.
Did you really?
Yeah. It sucked. And now I look at my nephews and I'm like, the thought of fucking beating them up with an odd, like hitting them?
Yeah.
Violence against children to teach them not to do something is
insane.
But
were your parents spanked? Because a lot of times that's what normalizes it.
My dad was definitely abused by his father.
Ugh.
Left the home by punching his father in the face and then walked out at 16 and never came back.
Wow.
But my mom, I don't know. My mom wasn't.
Wow.
But she was the one who spanked us.
Yeah.
It's all coming out on My Favorite Murder.
It happened to a lot. My mom and I are friends. Like, yeah, I'm good.
It happened to so many people. Yeah. I think because my mom had a super rotten childhood herself. Yeah. She was like, there was never any hitting.
Yeah.
And there was always like a, you know, discourse. But, you know, were still 80s parents. Right. And like went on cruises constantly.
My mom was a single mother of three children under 10.
Oh,
so like, what else are you going to do than like grab kitchen utensils and just beat the shit out of your
kids? Lose your fucking mind and do your best.
Yeah. Birth control. This episode of My Favorite Murder has been brought to you by birth control.
Any kind you can get your hands
just
on.
Just grab stuff.
Just use it.
All right. I'm going to read one by, let's see here. All right. Let's do, wait. Okay. This one's good.
Okay.
Kyleen writes, "This story makes the hair on my arm stand up. Rarely are we confronted with the realization that we so easily could never have been born.
Ooh.
When she was 20 years old, my mother went on a date with a serial killer. His name was Thor Nil Christensen, and he murdered several women in Solvang and Isla Vista, California, between 1976 and 79.
What?
Again, fucking Central California, Northern California. Get the fuck out.
Solvang is up like wine country, right?
It's like 2 hours from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's like right outside of Santa Barbara. It's a Dutch Disneyland, basically.
Yeah, it looks like it's for tourists.
It's
basically
for tourists. And, an alpaca farm. And Isla Vista is like the shitty part of Santa Barbara where all the kids go to college.
Oh, okay.
Right? All right. So the way she tells the story, and to be honest, she's only told me twice. So once as a warning as a teenager, and then just a few months ago after plowing her with several glasses of Pinot Grigio. So some details are hazy. Is that she was a sorority girl at UCSB in Santa Barbara, living in a studio apartment. One night at a bar, a, quote, surfer-looking guy with blonde hair hit on her, and she agreed to leave with him. Nope. Her bartender friend pleaded with her not to leave, but she didn't listen. The surfer at the bar drove a, quote, super creepy van, and they climbed in. Oh, the 70s. After driving around and making out, he suddenly turned down a way she didn't recognize. Eventually, he pulled into a cemetery. It was there he parked, went to the back of the van, and pulled out a suitcase full of women's clothing. He told my mom to put on the clothes and get out of the van. My mother put on the clothes and developed a plan. In a stunning stroke of genius, she said, "Oh, this is hot. This is so turning me on." And shaking, she led him back to her apartment where she lived alone. Admittedly, this was the flaw in my mother's plan, but thank God she got out of the fucking cemetery.
Yes. She says. 100%.
Once back to her studio, she led him to her bed and started kissing him, still wearing the creepy clothes. No idea. She picked up a lamp, smashed it over his head, and screamed, "Get the fuck out of my house!" And he ran away. Her neighbors all came out of their apartments to see if she was okay, and she said she was. And then she stayed with her sorority sister for a few nights.
Oh.
I don't even know if my dad knows the story, let alone the police. My mother said she never went to anyone and then moved back home to San Diego, so missed when he was captured. She didn't know his name or that he was a serial killer. So in May, when I plowed her with wine to get her to spill the details.
She means plied her with wine.
Okay, but please don't. It's not me.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Plowed. You're right.
You get plowed on wine. You ply people with wine.
I think Kyleen and I are like similar people because I swear to God it says plowed. And
I believed it
the whole time and I'm fine with it. Plied her with wine to get her to spill the details because I'm a terrible daughter. I researched it. Oh, I'm so embarrassed now, Karen.
I'm sorry.
It's plied.
Well, you're just reading it.
Okay. All right. Originally,
Plowed makes it sound like she fucked her own mom. Sorry, but that's...
No, I get it. You're right. Okay. Originally, I thought this, quote, surfer dude was the original Night Stalker, but the dates and story don't add up. Love this girl that she's, like, researching this.
Yes. She's like, which serial killer could it be?
Yeah. When I stumbled across Christensen, I showed her his picture, and she wrote, which was a mistake, and she confirmed. I'm not sure what kind of information you need to confirm the story, but I'm happy to help in any way I can. Like, we're questioning this girl's story. Oh, I know. I saw the photo.
Did you?
Karen's showing me this photo. He looks like he'd be a wrestler from
yes,
the 70s.
That's exactly what he looks like.
He was called the original Night Stalker wrestler. Like, so, he looks...
But he also has that look on his face like, I'm chill. Everything's chill.
Yeah. Like he's German or something.
Yeah.
He definitely looks like Macho Man Randy Savage or something.
Is she done?
Yeah, that's it.
Because here's the good news to the end of that story.
Yeah.
He was stabbed to death in Folsom Prison.
Yay!
If anyone's worried, the man who killed four women... wow, that's so intense.
I want to investigate the story more and know if like putting him in women's clothes was a thing or like were those the clothing of the women who he had killed before her? This bitch almost got killed.
That is, yeah, she was in it. That's so crazy.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
I'm trying to scan really quickly, but yeah, I don't see anything about clothes. Whoa, that one's good.
I'm sweating profusely. I smell kind of bad. Pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely sweating.
Sorry.
I love those. I like those fast ones.
I do too.
I mean, it's very satisfying to just go, not have to dive and pretend to be an expert on a topic.
Yeah, I like that. Here's what happened.
Yes.
According to me, who experienced it.
Right, exactly.
Those are fun.
There was a couple, and we're still going to keep doing these. So
yeah.
If we didn't get to yours, hopefully we'll soon. But there's hundreds. I mean, there's so many.
So many.
But there's a couple who are like, my mom went on a date with Ted Bundy.
There's a Ted Bundy date one. Yes. Like, you're not even making that up. There's a Ted Bundy date.
Yes. There's more than one Ted Bundy date.
Yes.
Like, there's people who are like, I knew Ted Bundy, or like, he was a friend of the family.
It's just crazy how many, like, my next door neighbor killed his wife. Like, there's so many of those.
Yes.
Little ones that you've never heard of and never will.
Yeah.
But people knew them and were like, no, they were nice guys. They're always normal, nice guys.
Right.
And then they snap. And there's a lot of the son of the family.
Right.
Ones.
Well, you know, that's the Amityville Horror story.
Right.
That's the real story behind that.
Totally.
Or at least that's the original story.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to be the eldest son and whatever comes with that.
I feel like it's hard to be the eldest son when the dad is a dick.
For sure.
I feel like a lot of that, the dad has so many expectations, especially back then where it's like, you know, it's so important to be popular.
Yeah.
And big time.
Yeah. You have to be like the quarterback or whatever.
And the dad is trying to, what's the word?
Live vicariously through the son. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have that combined with like, say, a weak mom or a mom that lets the dad do whatever he wants.
Right.
And doesn't have, you know, any kind of handle on anything.
And maybe the mom, the kid loves the mom so much and he's pissed at her for never having stood up for him.
But he can't be pissed at her because she is as abused as he is.
Right.
I mean.
And the sister's just like kind of a popular cunt. What are we writing right now?
We're basically talking through the Amityville Horror.
We are literally talking.
Origin story.
Yeah.
We are. But I mean, we're talking through a thing that we've all seen on 2020 1 million times.
Totally.
It's a typical American setup.
You guys, if you're a guy, please don't kill your family.
Listen, I can't solve your problem for you. It's just a podcast, but...
Listen to your mothers, Karen and Georgia.
I play the guitar. Girls love shit like that.
Yeah.
Be arty. Be arty. Grow your hair long and just be like, sorry, I'm arty. Too bad. And then jump on the next train.
I know a woman named Artie, so I was like, what are you talking about?
Be like her. She's great.
She's a darling person. Read a book, man. Don't read Catcher in the Rye. Just stop yourself right there.
Yeah. Is that it for us?
Elvis? Elvis will let us know when that's it.
What do you think, Elvis? Are we done?
Elvis?
Oh my god. One day we're gonna talk to him and he's gonna be like, ladies, let's wrap it up.
The gods have spoken.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Go to My Favorite Murder on fucking Instagram. There's a Twitter.
There's all kind of course the Facebook page. There's all kinds of ways that you can participate. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, tell a friend.
And tell a sister.
Elvis, do you want a cookie? You want a cookie?
Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered.
Bye.
Bye.